This is Tuesday, November 29th, 2016. Today I'll introduce you to two new Heroes of the Storm podcasts, some of the Control-Alt-WoW crew talks with me before recording episode 500, and it's time to talk about some yearly maintenance. This is episode 217.
When the servers go down, we'll tell you what's up. You're listening to Realm Maintenance.
Ladies and gentlemen, Death Knights and Demon Hunters, podcasters and podcastees, welcome to Realm Maintenance. I'm Ro, thank you as always for listening, and to those of you who are in America, I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. For those of you elsewhere, I hope you had a good last week. I, as always, am thankful for just World of Warcraft, all of the Blizzard games I play, the guild and the community surrounding that guild, WoW, all of the other games. Community has been a very important thing to me, and it's the whole concept of community in this gaming world, whether it's Blizzard or otherwise, that has been a primary factor in why I do this podcast. Community in World of Warcraft and other MMOs has evolved over the years. Back in the early days of these kind of games, like back in Ultima Online, my very first MMO, you didn't have all these websites and resources available to you, right? So it was more likely for people to band together, talk to each other, form tightly knit groups and communities to tackle the challenges ahead of us, to find out just how the heck do you do the thing at this place at this time. I still kind of refer to it as a golden age, when data mining wasn't so easy to do, when new sites were very few and far between. It was a special time for MMOs, and people talk about wanting to go back to the days of vanilla WoW. One thing that I don't feel they realize is that vanilla WoW was vanilla WoW because of that air of mystery, because of that lack of information. And, you know, over a decade later, when we live in such a connected time, I don't think it's going to be easy to replicate that experience, but that's not what I wanted to talk about. The vanilla WoW server talk can wait for another episode. Just going back to community, I remember when I first played Ultima Online, very first MMO I played. Community was important not just as far as, like, the guild I was in, but the server I was on, and I played on the Catskill server in Ultima Online. Being on Catskills was, like, a big deal, and Catskills had its own community, its own kind of personality, as it were. When I switched over to Lightbringer in World of Warcraft years later, that community also had its kind of own identity and personality. Lightbringer was one of the very first realms in World of Warcraft, which I found out somewhat after the fact, and people were proud to be a part of the Lightbringer server. Later, I moved over to Earthenring, and of course, Earthenring, very identifiable for being the home of the AIE Guild, and I remember realms being a very big deal for World of Warcraft. I can remember a time when certain realms had reputations for something. Illidan being the PvE realm to be on as far as raiding goes. Sargeras was up there too. And arguably they still have that reputation to a degree, but not as much. Then there's other realms, like as far as RP realms go, and Moonguard having, well, okay, Moonguard still has its reputation. But my point is that with cross-realm zones, with sharding technology and phasing, with Group Finder and Raid Finder, and all these things that have been added to the game to make things more convenient for us, the lines between servers have become very, very blurred. And I wonder just how important is server identity anymore? Does being on a specific server mean anything to me? It kind of does, but not that much anymore. Not as much as it did when I first started playing. And I wonder how important server identity is to you and to other people that play the game. I have a feeling that it's become less and less important, and I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing or a bad thing. The only thing that really that server identity matters anymore is mythic raiding, because you can't do cross-realm mythic raids in current content. Server identity is kind of an interesting issue that I wanted to talk about this show, and I actually did talk about it with the folks from Legend Style on last week's show. The only thing is, you didn't hear me talk about it with them. At least you haven't yet. So, perfect segue to yearly maintenance. Every year, at the end of the year, I do this thing called yearly maintenance, and it kind of takes a different form and format each year. I try to do things a little differently, cover things chronologically, include a whole bunch of podcasts. This year, the way I'm doing yearly maintenance is as a bonus to everything you've heard up to this point. So, every time that I have interviewed a podcast, with a few exceptions, I've missed a few weeks, but at the end of each interview that I've done this year, I would stop recording and then start recording again and ask the guests one additional question. These questions you have not heard the answers to yet. A lot of them were making predictions of how the year would play out. As we get near the end of the year, a lot of them are now looking forward to next year. Some of them were talking about the hot topics of the time. And it's an interesting time capsule. So what I will be doing for yearly maintenance this year is you will be hearing that bonus question from all of the podcasts I've interviewed, well, most of them. Right now, it's about 4 hours worth of content. So I'm going to break it up into 4 episodes, and you will catch those yearly maintenance episodes every Friday on this feed. Tuesday will still be the regular episode around maintenance. Friday will be the next numbered episode, but it will be a yearly maintenance show, and you'll have 8 episodes in December. While a lot of podcasts tend to put out less content during the holidays, I seem to put out twice as much because I'm just stupid crazy like that. So there you go, that's a tease of what yearly maintenance is going to be like, and that's also going to play into this week's interview as well, as you'll listen in just a bit. So Tuesday shows in December might be a little shorter because there tends to be less news and less podcast news, but hey, I might be proven wrong. We'll see what happens. I hope you're looking forward to yearly maintenance. I know I am. There's other stuff to look forward to in the realm of Blizzard Entertainment Gaming, so let's take a moment to quickly talk about that as we go around the World of Warcraft and more in 80 seconds. Players representing a number of high-profile raiding guilds received temporary bans in WoW for using an exploit to defeat Helya on Mythic difficulty. World first and second place teams of Method and Serenity were unaffected as both teams avoided the exploit. The steady stream of card reveals for Mean Streets of Gadgetzan reached a climax yesterday during an official livestream on Twitch, where it was revealed that the next Hearthstone expansion will be released this Thursday. Don't forget that you can still take advantage of the presale offer of 50 packs for $49.99. The WoW dev team announced that a soft cap on bad luck protection for up to 4 legendaries per character has been removed from Legion as of last week. The Overwatch PTR received a new update, including a significant redesign for Symmetra. The support character will become the first to have a choice of 2 ultimates thanks to the addition of a shield generator. Meanwhile, her old shield ability has been replaced with a moving photon barrier, and she'll be able to hold up to 6 charges on her turrets, which have received a faster recharge time. And finally, in case you missed it, weekly leaderboards for Mythic Keystone runs have been added to the official WoW site. To find them, go to worldofwarcraft.com, click on the game menu, then select Mythic Keystone Leaderboards in the competitive category. And that's your news. My interview with Control.WoW is coming up after this.
Join us weekly on the Victor Sanctum Podcast, where we are your source for all things PvP in the Blizzard universe, whether it be live on Twitch or on iTunes and Stitcher. Each week we discuss news and PvP in the World of Warcraft, Hearthstone, Heroes of the Storm, Overwatch, and StarCraft. Visit our website at victorsanctum.com to find out more information about our blog and podcast. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter.
It's the podcast for those who love playing World of Warcraft and love making many alts. By the time you hear this, Control.WoW will be just an episode or two shy of 500, a mark that so far has only been achieved by all things Azeroth. My guest this week, well, actually, just one of my guests this week, is the core of this venerable WoW podcast. It's Aprilian. Welcome back.
Hi, Ro. Nice to be back. It's been a while.
It has been a while. I looked at my Skype history and it said like 2 years since what was the second time that I've had you guys on. So this is the third time for Control at WoW.
Right. Well, we're doing a hat trick.
Indeed. And you are not alone. One of the kind of cool things about this is that each time that I feature Control at WoW, it has been a different crew. And right now, I have two of your current co-hosts, Grand Negus and Constrax. How are you doing, guys?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Yeah, we're missing two others. Rain and Say aren't here, but they'll be back. And we'll just give a shout out to them.
Absolutely. Yeah, you've got quite a crew, and it's just continued to change and evolve over the years. I remember first listening to Control Out WoW when, for me, it was the adventures of Asheo and Jeppy and Aprilian.
Oh, yeah. The golden years, as we call them.
So would this be like the Bronze Age or the Silver Age?
Right. We're up to the Silver Age, I think. You know, we're hanging in there. We're evolving. We still have the same variety. I remember that one of our listeners named Kyle is sending us these clips from Blast from the Past, and they are so wonderful and so little snippets of what went on before. And I remember saying once that we were kind of like those workout videos where you have the three different levels of playing style. So you have like, and I likened Asheo to the person that's using the heavy weights and doing the hard stuff, and I was the one doing the medium stuff, and maybe I had a step, and you know, Jeffy's over there on the floor, you know, easier. And we still have that kind of a dynamic where, you know, sometimes when Constrax is telling what he's doing, I'm kind of like, okay, are we still playing World of Warcraft? And then, you know, Grand Negus will like bring it in and focus on some of the other dynamics that make it, you know, more realistic. And you know, at the same time, I'm still having fun, you know, doing silly things like hanging out in my garrison. So the dynamics, the people have changed, the dynamic is still there, and then the basic core of having fun while playing World of Warcraft your way is still, you know, the tenet.
It's the cool thing where each and every host / co-host plays the game at his or her level and his or her own way. And that makes it what it is, that they all interact and talk about the same game, but from different angles.
Well, yeah. Grand Negus, how about you? Let's get my listeners to know just a little bit about you. When you're on the show and you're talking about your adventures and playing many alts and such, what type of activities in WoW do you enjoy the most?
I'm primarily into lore and add-ons. So while add-ons aren't much playing the game, it's more like the adding to the game, the flavoring,
right?
Where you make your stuff like more comfortable, more efficient. And then on the other hand, there are some things that while we all know that there are UI features that aren't optimal in the game, if you want to change something, there's probably a way through add-ons to change it somewhere out there. You just have to find it. I made it my goal to go out and look for ways to change this and that and the other if necessary and present it to people. So that's the technical one. As for the game itself, again, I refer to myself as a historian. Mm-hmm. When people in real life ask me, what are you doing? Why are you playing this game? and I'm like Low Walker Cho. I want to know everything there is, and if there is a person that collects all the lore scrolls, that's like me. I want to know all the lore, all the stuff, and it's such an exciting time now with Legion. We get so much new lore and new revelations for the game. It's an awesome time to be a lore-interested, lore-focused person in WoW.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a number of WoW podcasts that are like either, you know, specifically dedicated to the lore, or there's even a number of WoW podcasts that have taken time to devote a segment of their podcast to the lore. And you've seen that really grow and grow with Legion. So I think that's something that's going to continue for months, if not years to come. Constructs, yeah. How about you? Yep. What's your what are your primary loves and focuses?
Can I say something about Constructs?
Yeah.
If Eve had been at least more graphically interesting, I think Constructs would have been the ultimate Eve person. He knows how to take resources and generate and put them together in the right combination to make money. That's what Constructs does.
I would imagine, Constructs, you are an auction house junkie.
Listen, no, I'm an accidental auction house person. I came into the game in 2009, and back then there was not huge resources other than Thoughtbot available to me. So I became like an accidental gold maker, and what drove it home for me was the ability to give away mounts. Yeah. And the first two mounts I gave away were McGinnier Chopper, and I didn't have one of my own, so I had to learn back in the Lich King days how to make gold and how to have streams of income. And I remember working so hard to level mining so I could have a cooldown for Titan Steel.
Oh, wow.
And 2 days after I had two miners with cooldowns available, they removed the cooldown on it. Right. So my first stream of income was like instantly gone.
Wow. You mentioned making gold by mistake, so I just want to ask offhand, can you think of what your best gold-making accident was? Like something you stumbled upon that made you a bunch of gold and you had
I was thinking about it this afternoon, and it had to be during Mists of Pandaria. I was making the Dark Moon cards to make the trinkets, mm-hmm. and on my server, I accidentally found out that there was a cooking recipe that required the mystery cards from the Black Fallow ink.
Right.
So I was cranking out Inferno ink, but this Black Fallow ink I had nothing to do with. So I learned a recipe for fortune cookies, and I made more gold with fortune cookies at that time. Ooh, yeah. Because nobody was selling them on my server. So I sold basically 8,000 cookies at 50 or 90 gold each.
So wow.
It was just like this water fountain of gold that nobody was even tapping into. And I think it was into the next expansion before people caught on that I was massively wealthy because I had all the expensive mounts on the auction house.
Yes, there was a time, folks, when Inscription really did pay off. It really did.
Right.
Which is no more.
Yeah, that's not all that debatable, I'd have to agree. Aprilian, you did mention you have two other co-hosts, and if you don't mind taking a minute, just once again mention who they are and what they tend to talk about on the show.
Well, Say does a lot of... He focused mostly on Saurian, and he brings a lot about the Paladin, and I think there's a Druid also. And it's a kind of a different play style because of the limitations, you know, of, you know, life.
Sure.
And then Rain, who is awesome, but has kids, also, you know, brings that whole limitation to lifestyle. And then we have the drop-ins, like Rogue Slayer reports every week. She does our Guildy report. And she is going to guest host one episode soon.
Is there going to be a big reunion for episode 500? Are we going to hear voices
from
the past?
I'm looking. I'm hoping. I'm reaching out. You know, I don't want to put too much pressure. You know, some people being on Control Alt WoW was traumatic for them.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
And apparently, I've hurt Jeppy on multiple occasions.
So, that means except for Carr, he didn't last on all that many others. So every time he tried to venture off to something else, he crashed and burned.
Maybe we had a hold on him. So who knows? I don't know if anybody noticed last week during the 12th anniversary, Vrishna actually got on and off a few times.
I noticed that.
Interesting blast from the past.
We'll just have to wait and see. Yeah, for sure. One thing I wanted to ask you, Aprilian, you know, with all these co-hosts have come and gone over the years. You've been the one constant because obviously it's your podcast. I have two questions for you. First, when this journey began, what was it that made you say, I'm going to record a podcast about playing alts? And has your love of alts remained that strong throughout the 10 plus year history of the show?
Yes. What made me do it was all the podcasts at the time, there was a lot of eliteness. Everybody was doing the best of the best of the best. Everybody was telling you what set you had to wear and what gear you had to wear and what, you know, what steps and rotations. And I wasn't into that. I was the person that was being picked on at Thralmar because I was carrying that big two-handed sword from Hellfire Citadel that I just liked because it looked good. And so I thought what we needed was a podcast for people who were just having fun and who could talk about having fun and not feel like just because they haven't done 3,000 hours of studying and know exactly the right way to play that they weren't valid. And everybody's way of playing is valid, and that's what we're all about. And we'll continue to be that. And I like that.
Awesome. Constrax, let's go around the table with this question here. Obviously, as well as being a current co-host, I'm sure you've listened to episodes before you were a co-host. What is one of your favorite moments or episodes from the entire history of Control Out Loud?
I think my first time guesting on the show is I showed up to the chat room to give away two vials of the sand, and they brought me in on the show, and I had a blue microphone mic that I bought just to guest on Girls Gone Wow, which is another great show, by the way. Mm-hmm. And but just this instant being in the room with all these rock star people that I totally idolized, and I was like, it's like, okay, how do you want to give it away? You know, and it's like, well, you know, I thought give one to the guild and give one to the chat room. And Daenerys ended up winning it. And she, in turn, she's in the chat room. And in turn, she wants to give away this vial of the sands that she just won to Rain, who she idolizes as a rock star. And that's what the show is like, you get propelled in the spotlight, and for just these few hours while you're playing the game, you're chatting away, and you totally feel like Chris Metzen on stage at BlizzCon. That's how the show makes you feel.
That's cool. Well, I like that idea.
That is awesome. Grand Negus, how about you? Do you have a favorite moment from the history of the show?
I don't have one favorite moment. I have, as we discussed or talked about earlier, my favorite part of the history, going back to history there, of the show was like the last few, and I talked about that on last week's show, where I said that Kyle, the listener that sends in the blast of the past segments,
oh, he's awesome. Yeah.
He inspired me to go back to listen to those episodes of that era, if you want to call it that. So over the last few days, small week, I've been listening to the late 280s, early 290s, making my way to the 300s now, and that was that. To stay with the term we used previously, golden age,
right?
with Asheo, Jeppy, and Tidra.
Yes, I forgot Tidra when I mentioned. Yeah, Tidra is much a part of that golden age too.
Yeah, definitely. And it was so great to feel it again, even though I started contributing to the show at, I think, 301, something like that. So I wasn't part of it. Besides listening to, I think I started listening at around that time. So it's like for me to like have a revisit with all the getting to know the people, but the content they presented and the feeling, the interaction, the camaraderie of the hosts back then, which was so cool. And as Aprilian said as well, each of the hosts fill the niche that they represent.
Each one has a role.
Yeah, each one has a role. Each one does their job. It's like one piece of the puzzle, and it fits perfectly together.
I absolutely agree. One thing that I've thought about, just thinking about how many episodes Control-Alt-Wow has had and how long it's run, is that it really is, in a way, one of the best time capsules one can have to check out the state of World of Warcraft at any given time.
Exactly.
There have not been that many weeks where you have not recorded an episode. You don't get to 500 episodes by recording every month.
No, you don't.
That's one of the most amazing things, and I think that's a testament to how much, Aprilian, you enjoy the game and how much your co-hosts enjoy the game as well. Do you have a specific favorite moment from all the shows you've recorded of Control-Alt-Wow?
I have a letter, and I'm going to paraphrase it, and I wish I had pulled it up beforehand, but I'm going to paraphrase it. Somebody wrote, it was last year, that said that they had been listening, and it was the first time, long time listener, first time writer, and they said that they'd been listening almost the whole time since Glanther, and they had graduated high school, gone through college, gotten several jobs, moved, broken into, had several different relationships, and the only consistent thing in their life had been Control-Alt-Wow. And then, you know, even when they weren't playing, they could still tune in and know that it was there. And that touched me more than I can say. So I think in some way we are a consistent thing. I know that it's Control-Alt-Wow is a big part of my life, as WoW is a big part of my life. Even when I'm not playing hardcore and I'm not playing current content, it relaxes me. It gives me a comfortable place to go, and it's comfort tech, you know. And I'm glad that I did this podcast, and I'm glad that World of Warcraft is still going strong.
So am I. I'm really happy to have seen just the show go on for episodes and episodes, see it change, see it mature and sometimes demature, depending on your co-hosts. But it's been a fun ride, and I don't think it shows any signs of stopping anytime soon. Before we close out today, one question I do have that kind of brings things in touch with just present-day WoW. One thing people have talked about is that when it comes to Legion, there is a group of the player base that says Legion is very alt unfriendly. So I just want to find out from you three, go around the table here, how alt friendly do you feel Legion is?
I can tell you that WoW specifically became alt unfriendly with Draenor, with the last expansion. Because of the garrisons and the profession specific quest, which makes it, you know, if you don't, unless you do something where you have the, you know, two or three alts with the same, you know, professions and stuff, it really does, in the same class, it really doesn't work very well. Right. But on the other hand, it still makes it's doable and it's still challenging, and you sometimes find that when you do split up and look at certain quest lines from a different point of view, like, you know, instead of going to Ebon Hall because I'm not at my Warlock has to go somewhere else into a Death Knight, it lets me explore from the game from different ways, and then I can still bring it back together and still share resources and still do the Altaholic thing. So, yeah, it's not friendly, but it's still challenging, and you can still do the alt thing, I guess would be my answer.
Grand Nagus, what's your viewpoint on the alt-friendliness or unfriendliness of Legion?
My point is that, and that's been my point from early pre-Legion, is that the artifacts, as nice as they are lore-wise, mm-hmm. gameplay-wise, they suck.
Really?
Yeah. It's a thing where you have to level a crucial thing as a weapon, such a powerful thing as a weapon. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I don't like. If I take into account your question as a player of alts,
right?
You can go into a dungeon or a raid or whatnot, several patches in, have the drop luck or a bonus roll luck and get a current level weapon and be up to par with your. Yes.
I was going to say, do you feel that when it comes to artifacts, do you feel that the catch-up mechanisms that they have in place for, like, artifact knowledge so that you can get artifact points faster, do you think that those need adjustment, or do you just not like the concept of leveling an artifact?
My point would be if they would ask me how to do it, I would say that come a specific level of expansion, say you do a 7.2 with the new raid tier, mm-hmm. and you can go and automatically do a quest chain, and the minimum item level, which is 750 now for the artifact, gets bumped up to 850, 900, mm-hmm. whatever the current minimum thing threshold level is,
I think that sounds like a good idea. I would say that since the item level is determined by the relics, having that quest chain, say, giving you some starter relics that have a high bonus to item level, would be a great way to get caught up.
Yeah,
absolutely. How about you, Constrax? What are your thoughts on the alt-friendliness of Legion? Is it in the right place? Is there a lot of work that needs to be done on it?
I think since patch 7.1, where you can mail the Order Hall cash to your alts from Bloods of Sargeras, I think that Legion has become very, very friendly to alts in that respect. That you don't have to pay the
play
24/7. You can just mill resources, level up your champions without too much effort. As long as you can get to level 101, which a couple Dark Moon Fairs in, it happens by itself pretty much. And then you can open up your champions. And once you got your champions, you're all on happy land. And I think it's going to become just like the Garrison had missions that rewarded gold, so does Legion. Legion has follower missions that reward gold, but you have to level them to the max, and you have to level them to purple. And once you do that, you start enjoying yourself. I think it's very important the direction that Blizzard has taken, that you have a backup for when you're not having so much fun on your main, so you don't burn out. Because I could tell you my main, I could spend all day playing my main, and at one point in time, your head starts to ache because all those world quests are leeching into that artifact weapon that Grand Negus was talking about, and it's just sucking the energy out of you. You have to think differently. You have to go to your alt, which is, you know, the basis of control. Wow, just to have some fun.
Right. I mean,
take your Death Knight out and, you know, pull 30 things at once. Why not?
I will say that this has been the first expansion where I have played an alt almost as often as I play what I consider my main. I'm playing a Destruction Warlock and a Restoration Shaman, two very different playstyles, two very different characters. And it's something about Legion encouraged me to go in that direction this time around. And I think the jury's still out on whether Legion is truly alt-unfriendly or alt-friendly, and I think it depends on your point of view. And this is actually a discussion that I'm going to pause right now for now with the three of us, but people listening to the show, tune in to Realm Maintenance in a couple of weeks, because you're going to hear a little bit more of my talk with the three co-hosts here from Control Out WoW, a little bonus something. You'll see it in Yearly Maintenance very soon. But for right now, guys, thank you for being on the show this week. Aprilian, it's been a pleasure talking to you now for the third time featuring Control Out WoW. I am very proud of everything that you and all of your co-hosts have done, and all your listeners, because your listeners have contributed so much to the show and just made Control Out WoW a very special podcast experience. And if you could let my listeners know exactly where, when, and how to find your show, I would appreciate it.
Well, we're on iTunes, Control Out WoW, CTRLALTWOW, and our webpage is controloutwow.blogspot.com, and we're on Podbean. You can find our whole catalog there, going all the way back the last 10 years. And I just want to say, Ro, thank you for what you do. You bring so much to the WoW community, and we appreciate it.
Oh, thank you very much. It's shows like yours that make doing what I do an awesome thing. Once again, Aprilian, Grand Nagus Construx, thanks for being on. Happy 500 episodes, and here's to the next 100, 200, or 500 more.
Right. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks again to Aprilian, Construx, and Grand Nagus for being on the show this week. Don't forget, you'll hear the rest of that talk about alt-friendliness in Legion in the last part of Yearly Maintenance, which will hit the feed in late December. It's time for podcast news, and as promised, it's time to talk about some new Heroes of the Storm shows to add to your list. The first one has actually been around since February of this year. I know, this one slipped under my radar for quite a while, but it's time to change that. The show's called the Gankbush Squadcast. It's an explicit Heroes of the Storm community fan cast where all of the hosts represent different levels of gameplay from Bronze to Diamond. Now, I've listened to a couple of episodes over the past day, and I'd say it's a very conversational podcast. I mean, imagine if you were at an esports bar and talking Heroes with some friends at the table. That's basically the vibe I got from this show. The most recent episode includes the crew's thoughts on Varian and the most recent changes in the game. You can join the Gankbush Squad by finding a show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or even YouTube. You can also send questions to the show by emailing podcast@gankbushsquad.com, follow them on Twitter @GankbushSquad, or join the show's community in-game by joining the Windtime channel in Heroes of the Storm. The next Heroes podcast introduced to you has only been around for a few weeks, but don't let that stop you from checking out the Nexus Trolls. Daz, Shiz, and Mystic are your hosts for this podcast, and you know, when I found this show while searching iTunes, I saw a 5-star review for it, which, well, sums up my thoughts as well. The review read, quote, "This show is a little late to the party for Heroes of the Storm podcasts, but it's one you won't want to miss. Shiz, Daz, and Mystic have a great grasp on the game and provide great insight and analysis. It's definitely been added to my regularly scheduled programming." Like I said, that's pretty accurate as far as my opinion goes. All the hosts have some experience in Chair League. In fact, the guest on episode 5 is Chair League caster Liquid, and you'll hear plenty of talk about HGC and the recent changes made to damage mitigation in the game. You can learn more by going to thenexustrolls.com, follow the show on Twitter @thenexustrolls, and if you're free on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time, you can catch a live recording of their podcast at twitch.tv/thenexustrolls. On episode 250 of Group Quest, the crew recapped BlizzCon and discussed a few outstanding points of interest, which can be found in Taking the Long Way Back from BlizzCon, which can be found at thegroupquest.com. What are you thankful for when it comes to Diablo? Leviathan and Nineball returned to that topic on a Thanksgiving-themed episode of the West March Workshop, which you can find on your app of choice or at blizzpro.com. There's been a lot of negativity going on in Diablo community, and the hosts take a little time to address that and focus on the more positive aspects. Don't forget, if you're still adventuring in Sanctuary and have a cool piece of epic loot to share or simply some feedback for the show, you can email it to westmarchworkshop@blizzpro.com. Things have been a little chaotic around the Chaos Portal show. Who'd have guessed? That said, you can find a pair of new episodes for this World of Warcraft podcast at chaosportalshow.com, where you'll hear MacGyver and Alice journey to a realm many of us stay away from, the WoW General Forums. Live shows on YouTube are back, and you can expect new episodes to return to the feed every other week. Don't forget to catch up with the show by following at Chaos Portal Show on Twitter. One thing I've heard often on many a WoW podcast lately is that, well, there's a lot to do in Legion. With so much content in such a big game, there's bound to be plenty of online resources that are available to help you out. And that's the focus of episode 30 of Adventures in Azeroth. You can listen to Stone and Lita cover the websites they use for WoW info, and you can find the show in all of the usual places as well as adventuresinazeroth.com. Now, let's be real here. Aren't Brewmaster tanks the worst? I mean, really, the worst? Well, the dev team really needs to do something about them, right? And not necessarily, according to the devs and to Sunnier from Tankcast. It's all a matter of community perception, and Ariel and Sunnier discuss how to change community perception on episode 53 of their show. You can find Tankcast on iTunes or by going to theincbear.com/podcastgen. The crew from the Lorecraft podcast took a few weeks off from the show, but they're back with episode 84. There's no specific lore topic this week, but you can catch up with Machik, Legren, and Yamino at thelorecraft.com or on your pod app of choice to find out, well, what they've been up to over the past few weeks. And there's plenty of reader emails to cover as well. Don't forget to follow the show on Twitter at thelorecraft for further updates. Symmetra's redesign is the focus of almost every Overwatch podcast out there this past week, including Watchpoint Radio. Jarrett, Jason, and Mikey talk all about the PTR, the book that First Strike could have been, and listener feedback as well on episode 32 of their show. You can find this explicit podcast from Mash Those Buttons by going to mashthosebuttons.com. You can't keep a good Hearthstone show down, and the Death Rattle Crew podcast is back and as edgy as ever. Well, it's edgy when Mushu starts it out. It is an explicit podcast, but always an entertaining download. Catch up with Mushu and Bradford Lee on episode 84 as they get ready for the new year and the mean streets of Gadgetzan. You can find the show at deathrattlecrew.com. And finally, there's a Hearthstone podcast out there that hasn't had a new episode in almost a year, but it's ready to make a return. Rather than give you all the details myself, I'm going to let the show's producer tell you all about it and how you might be able to help. I'll be back to wrap up the show after this.
My name is Ben Besler, and I'm part of the Whales Are Whales Network, and I'm in the process of bringing Hearthaholics back from retirement. But I need your help. But before we move much further, I want to talk about how I'm wanting Hearthaholics to change in the future. In the past, it was a show based around the strategy of Hearthstone and aimed at a more competitive player base. I'm wanting to take it in a totally different direction. My goal for Hearthaholics moving forward is to make it a podcast aimed at the more casual Hearthstone player base. I want it to be primarily a deck-building-slash-tavern-brawl podcast that is community-driven. I want to build the community of players that is already looking for those crazy, fun, gimmicky, quirky decks, as well as the ones that aren't necessarily interested in playing Hearthstone for the competitive side. I've got a ton of ideas for this show, but I'm in need of some co-hosts. So if you or anyone you know enjoys Hearthstone and wants to be a co-host on a podcast, please send them my direction. You don't have to be amazing at the game or anything. I just want you to love the game and enjoy the more unexplored sides of Hearthstone. So for anyone who's interested, here's what I need you to do. I need you to either send me an email at benbesler@gmail.com or tweet at me at benbesler. That's spelled BenBezzler, and just let me know you're interested. And even if you aren't able to be a co-host, I hope that you listen and enjoy Hearthaholics when it comes back soon. Thank you so much for your time, and I hope to hear from you soon. Bye, guys.
And that sound means your update is complete. It's time to press the play button and run your world quest in WoW, do your weekly tavern brawl in Hearthstone, grab some loot boxes in Overwatch, finish up the Nexus Challenge in Heroes of the Storm, hell, run some Greater Rifts in Diablo, do all the things. Just, well, don't expect me to be doing much of any of that this week. See, there's this little game not released by Blizzard called Final Fantasy XV, so... yeah, I'm mostly taking a vacation from Blizzard Entertainment Games this week, even if it means skipping out on that paycheck, which doesn't exist. So yeah, it's a good thing I don't do a podcast that talks about what I did this past week in WoW and other Blizzard games, because I would have nothing to talk about next week. Thanks again for listening this week. As always, if you'd like to support the show, you can do so by going to patreon.com/realmpodcast. The Realm Maintenance Podcast can be found on most podcasting apps, including iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, and many more. I also encourage you to check out realm-maintenance.com, where you can find not only the weekly podcast roundup on Sundays, but a directory of most podcasts out there covering your favorite Blizzard franchises. If you're a podcaster and have news about your show or a promo to send in, or if you're just a listener with questions about Blizzard games or podcasts for those games, send those emails to realmpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show on Twitter @RealmPodcast or follow myself @Rowow, spelled R-H-O-W-O-W. Next week, we'll take a look back at the first official year of Overwatch with the hosts of the Omnic Fallout, and I'll have a second bonus interview with Pat Crane, who's working on a little project that you might be interested in if you've ever wanted to start your own podcast. Until then, I've been Ro, you've been you, and Realm Maintenance has been completed. This podcast has been a presentation of Realm Maintenance Productions, copyright 2016, and is distributed by Signals Media. You can find this show and other great podcasts at signalsmedia.com. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks again to Aprilian, Grand Negus, and Constrax for being on the show this week. Thanks to everyone in the community for the retweets and for getting the word out about the show. And as always, thanks to you for listening. It's the end of the show, and that means it's time for the roundup. This is an insanely quick rundown of every Blizzard podcast I'm aware of that's produced a show between November 20th and 26th of 2016. For general Blizzard podcasts, we have All Things Azeroth, Battletag, Blizzard Watch, Blue Recluse, Battle.net News, Epic Fail, Frozen Nerds, Geeks of Azeroth, Group Quest, Grown Up Gaming, Hearthcast, Lagging Balls, The Sundering, Torn Think Tank, and Victor Sanctum. World of Warcraft shows include Adventures in Azeroth, Balrez Bears, Chaos Pearl Show, Control Out Wild, Dark Moon Herald, Daughters of Azeroth, For Azeroth, The Game Case Show, Lion's Pride Tavern, Pwncast, Raiding with Leisha, Reigns of Azeroth, Stopcast, Tankcast, The Torn and the Goblin, Training Dummies, The Worgen's Howl, WoW Challenges, WoWhead Weekly, and Your WoW Money. Inside the Tavern for Hearthstone, we have 1600 Dusty Angry Chicken, Coin Concede, Death Rattle Crew, Golden Wisp, Hearth Coach, Hearthcore, Hero Power, Cassie, Innervated, The Lightforge, Legend of the Innkeeper, Never Legend, Top Deck Kings, Value Town, Velen's Chosen, Walk to Work, and Well Met. Westmarch Workshop is your Diablo podcast this week. Heroes of the Storm podcasts include Core, Dirty Casual, Gankbush Squad, Heroes Forge, Into the Nexus, Lords of the Storm, and the Nexus Trolls. And finally, for Overwatch, we have The Cavalry, Heroes Never Die, High Noon, Omnic Lab, The Overcast, Overplayed, and Watchpoint Radio. For links to all these shows and archives of this podcast, head to realm-maintenance.com.
This podcast is a part of the Signals Media All-Star Network. For more information on this and other fine shows, go to signalsmedia.com. It's okay to stick our stuff in your ears. Really?